fight. And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out.
Welcome to Jennings and Jarrett.
First and 10 from the 12 to the end zone.
Jennings.
A Stevens pass is picked off by Jennings, and Tim Jennings takes it all the way for a Bears touchdown.
Jared Payton.
Having a quarterback is a big deal.
Go on a recruiting trip. Everybody deserves a recruiting trip.
This is Jennings and Jarrett, live at the Pony Inn.
Perfection.
On FM 87.7 The Game and thegamechicago.com.
Live from the Pony Inn here in Chicago. What's going on? This is the Jarrett and Jennings Show. I'm Adam Hogue. We're going to be taking your phone calls tonight. We're going to be talking to the man of the hour, though, mostly, Tim Jennings, Bears cornerback. We're broadcasting live from the Pony Inn on Belmont, courtesy of Miller Lite. Now back in the original light can, it's Miller time. What's going on, Tim?
Nothing much, man. Glad to be here.
Good
glad
to have you
here today.
You've been hearing Jarrett for the last 4 hours. Here on the game.
I'm going in, man.
I got around here.
Hey, I got another hour in me. See, I feel good because Tim walked in and he looked at me. He said, dang, JP, you still trying to play, man? I'm like, hey. I got to get right, man.
I see what Jared's still on, so I'm ready for him, bro.
Let's do this.
Thanks for joining us on your off day. Well, how did you spend an off day during the season?
Oh, man, really? It's really relaxing, man. So just trying to get a routine down right now. I wake up in the morning. I try to sleep as late as I can. Get up about 10 o'clock. Start my day off with a little yoga. Just stay loose and everything. And then probably take another nap, which I did today. Relax. And take care of some errands that I need to take care of, though.
I think the biggest thing a lot of people don't really understand is how much time it actually takes to play a game and then get yourself ready for the next game. And you see it kind of, if you watch the great players in the league, the one thing is they take care of themselves. So it's a part of the yoga. It's the food that you're putting in
right,
your body.
Right.
Do you cook or do you have someone come over prepare meals? Or how does that work out?
No, man, I can't do all that. Right now I got a personal chef, so I definitely have to make sure I take care of my body, put the right things in. If you leave it up to me... I mean, it's not going to be none of the stuff I need to eat. So I like to be smart about it and, you know, have a chef during the year, make sure I'm, you know, eating the proper meals throughout the day. And like you said, man, we take pride in what we do, so you have to make sure you feed your body right with the yoga and the strength, keep up your condition and everything like that. So that's kind of what my week consists of.
That's the voice of Bears cornerback Tim Jennings. I'm Adam Hogue alongside Jarrett Payton. We're here at the Pony Inn on Belmont. And we're going to be taking your phone calls tonight. If you have a question for Tim Jennings, call in 312-235-2525. You can follow us on Twitter. Jarrett's at Payton Sun, S-U-N. I'm at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E. And Tim Jennings is at Hen or Jen 26. What's the story behind your Twitter handle?
Oh, man, when it first came out, it was something, you know, having fun with. Hen or Jen, you know, since my last name was Jen, you know, it's kind of rhymed together. So it was just something I came with. I didn't change it at all. Just something I ran with. I thought it was catchy. So it gives people something to talk about.
Tim, when you look at Twitter, I mean, we've seen it's kind of changed in the way of, especially when I was coming up and playing and to where it is right now. How much do you look at stuff that people are saying to you? Because, I mean, after the game, there's a lot of, your name probably isn't mentioned in a lot of tweets after a game. Do you pay attention or during the season, do you kind of maybe put the phone away and not maybe check Twitter as much?
Nah, I'm really one of the guys, I kind of keep up with it. You know, whether it's a good or bad game, I take, you know, everything, criticism and all that to whatever the people are trying to say so I can realize what's going on out there. So I do check it. I read it. I don't respond to them, but I kind of keep up with it, see what's going on, see what people think about it, see how our fans react to what we got going on. So it keeps me in tune of how people think outside of football.
This is the first of a few shows you're going to be doing with us throughout the season, Tim, and I figured we should get to know you a little bit. Going back to some of your early playing days, you didn't start with the Bears. You started with the Indianapolis Colts, so maybe a lot of Bears fans don't know sort of your college background. You played at the University of Georgia. got the opportunity to play in the SEC. You were probably on that Georgia team that beat my Wisconsin Badgers back in the Outback Bowl, I'm thinking.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, with David Pollock intercepting John Stockwell. Still reliving that play. What's it like? What was it like to play at Georgia and battling in the SEC every single week?
Honestly, man, I think it prepared me for where I'm at today. Best 4 years of my life. Anytime I could tell anybody, I'd never change it for anything. I'd do it all over again. My story has been, it's been crazy how I ended up there, you know, and ever since I stepped foot on campus, it just kind of took off for me. I never looked back, so I always think that Georgia has been a big part of my success in my career. So it's been a great opportunity to get myself prepared on, you know, this level in the NFL.
Playing at the top of the top, when I remember being in 2001 playing in Miami and with those guys like DJ Williams and Jonathan Vilma, it got me ready to play. But we were playing in the Big East. What was it like, though, playing the SEC? That's big boy football.
I'm telling you, man. Hey, it don't get no bigger than the SEC, bro. I know, you know, you can't, you know, you had your little era over there in Miami, but you had your guys. But the SEC, man, I think it's just a total different ball game. I mean, it's tough, you know. Running the football, you got some of the best athletes to go to some of the big time schools from the Tennessee and the Florida. So those guys, you know, SEC just have caliber, NFL caliber all across the board. So it is definitely one of those things to get you mentally and physically prepared to play this game on Sundays.
So you grew up in South Carolina. How'd you end up at Georgia?
Honestly, man, that's a good question, because South Carolina really didn't recruit me as heavy as did Georgia did. I mean, you know, they gave phone calls, but none of them, they never offered. University of South Carolina never offered. Clemson never offered. All you did is want you to go to their football games and show your face. But it was a night before signing day, and Georgia came up, and one of the guys decommitted, you know. So took a visit. I was going to go to South Carolina State, small MEAC school, right there in my hometown, South Carolina, Orangeburg, South Carolina. But Georgia had an opportunity. They had a scholarship open at the last minute. And I was able to, you know, that opportunity was there, and they gave me a call and gave me a scholarship. So I took off, man. I say.
So you went from an under-recruited prospect to a second-round draft pick then.
It's crazy. I know it's crazy, man. But like I said, it's just an opportunity that presented itself, and I just made the best of it. I never looked back since then.
And then take us into a little bit of your first few years in the league with the Indianapolis Colts and how – you spent 4 years there, right?
Right.
And then just how did those years go? It seemed like maybe a slower start into the NFL compared to what you've been doing with the Bears for especially the last couple of years.
Well, it was best of both worlds. I mean, ending up in an organization like the Indianapolis Colts, I went to 2 Super Bowls, won one. So having to play with a guy, you know, named Peyton Manning, I don't know if y'all heard him or not, but he's one of the greats. I mean, those opportunities was great for me coming into my rookie year and going to the Super Bowl and winning it, and then also playing in another one. So it's really been a blessing, man. And I wouldn't say it's been off to a slow start, because I had the opportunity to vision it all. You know, greatness, play, Super Bowls, wins, playoffs. So personal, it's been kind of slow, but you know, career wise, it's been successful.
I got a question.
What's up?
RCA Dome? Wasn't the RCA Dome?
But
the old, Did y'all be? Were y'all pumping crowd noise in there when teams would come, other teams? Because there was a point in time when I was with the Titans and we came in and I was on the sidelines and I played in all types of places. I've never felt my stomach rumble where I looked at my coach. I looked at Coach Sherman, my running back coach. I said, I might have to go to the bathroom right now because it was so loud.
I don't know anything about no music, but you just got to – that's how passionate the fans was. And then you got the big bubble, so you know how all the noise get trapped inside. So that's what probably made it seem so loud then. And, of course, you probably wasn't ready for all that.
No, I wasn't ready, man. I had to try to block Freeney off the edge. He hit me back like a pinball, man. It was horrible.
Yeah, I can understand that.
That's the voice of Bears cornerback Tim Jennings. Jared Payton's here, too. I'm Adam Ho. We are here until 8 o'clock live at the Pony Inn. Plenty of cold Miller Lite here. We'll take a quick timeout. If you have a question for Tim Jennings, call in 312-235-2525. You got the Jarrett and Jennings Show on 87.7 The Game.
You know, you never want to drop any game, you know, especially the opener at home. you know, it's going to be tough to win the road game. So we got a bunch of road games coming up, so we got to get our stuff together.
Back to Jennings and Jarrett live at the Pony Inn on FM 87.7 The Game.
Back here at the Pony on Belmont, I'm Adam Hogue alongside Jared Payton and Tim Jennings. Got a bunch of thank yous. Got to thank Miller Lite for having us out here tonight. Also need to thank O'Hare Midway Limousine for providing our show with transportation to today's broadcast. Call 847-948-8050 or visit oharemidway.com for all your transportation needs. Got Bears cornerback Tim Jennings here until 8 o'clock. We'll get into the game a little bit here. We do have to talk about that game, the opener against the Bills from Sunday.
Do we have to?
Unfortunately, we got to get into
just a little bit,
it's all
man.
Good. It's all
we
got
to move. We got to move on too, but we got to talk about it.
We can talk about it. I mean, we don't. You know, it's done and over with. I'm okay to talk about it now, so we're cool.
Well, before the break, we were kind of diving into some of your early years in the league with the Colts. You get the opportunity to be a free agent, and you end up signing with the Bears. If you can go back to that, what was it about the Bears that made you want to come to Chicago?
I mean, Chicago itself, you know, Chicago Bears itself, the organization says it all. Then you have the guys on defense from Brian Urlacher, Peanut Tillman, Lance Briggs. I mean, those guys, you know, anybody in their career wants to play along with those guys. And then I seen the acquisition they were making at the time in the offseason, signing Julius Peppers and the running back from Minnesota.
Chester Taylor.
There you go. So I feel like it was a great opportunity that those guys were trying to build over here, and I wanted to continue, you know, winning. I wanted to continue the success, and I thought Chicago had a great, you know, great situation with Jay Cutler at the quarterback. So it really was a no-brainer when he decided to give me another chance. So I was like, yeah, we got to go with it. It seemed like a great fit for me.
And your time in Indy, though, you did play a little bit of nickel, so you had to play inside a little bit. Has it been a transition of getting back to that? And what are the differences of playing inside or playing on the outside?
Honestly, man, it's been a huge transition. I mean, I didn't play that much in Indy, but I played some. So, and it's been so long ago since I've been here in Chicago. I mean, it had to be like at least about 6 years before I started playing the nickel here. So the transition has been a little different from me. You got to get back to the feel of things. You know, you got to get back to being inside, playing another, like a linebacker position, and being in, stick your nose in there and making some tackles. So it's been pretty smooth so far, but it's going to come with the feel of the game, you know. So I'm looking forward to it.
Is that difficult in the middle of a game when you're in base, you're out there on the outside, and then when you go to nickel, Kyle Fuller right. comes into the game, he goes outside, you come inside. Is that difficult at all to go back and forth between
the
games?
Yeah, honestly, it's been difficult at first in training camp, because sometimes I might forget I have to go inside, you know, and then sometimes when we go back to base, I forget to go back outside. So I had a few errors in training camp. And kind of left from the wide receiver, kind of open, and having guys yelling at me, hey, it's base. So after a while, but after the games, doing the game is more easy, because you can look over to the sideline and see the different packages we're going to run. Besides training camps, you might just have guys coming from all, you know, different places, not knowing what package we in. So I'm looking forward to it being a better transition.
But I'll say this, though. I think it's a testament to who you are and how you play the game that you can do both. I mean, you don't see guys that right. I think people feel that they have enough in you and the confidence in you that you can do that. But it is. Sometimes you have to be inside, and whether that's another receiver or a tight end inside that's out, they have confidence in you that you can get it done, and you've shown that.
Well, I mean, I look at it that way also, because now in today's game, some teams have guys that just play nickel.
Yeah.
You know, so anytime you can have a corner that come in and play nickel, I mean, it's very rare. You know, you have guys like Rondé Barber that did it. I think Antoine Winfield did it early in his career. You know, it's very few that they can say to do it, but I see why nowadays they have just nickel backs. I mean, because it's a lot going on, and then you have the quicker shift their receivers in the slot and be able to cover a lot more field. So it's a testament that they asked, you know, I appreciate the opportunity they're giving me, and they believe that I could get it done. So I took it as a challenge, and I want to make sure I'm able to do it and I can do it right.
What about this division, though? You start looking at the division, and it has changed. It's changing the way that you look at what Detroit's done and with offensively, where you have these big, taller receivers, mm-hmm. and now you're getting these athletic tight ends that are coming in, too, where it's becoming different. And from what the black and blue division of just running the ball has kind of changed now. This has been that air and water show in the NFC.
I agree, and that's why when we drafted Kyle Fuller, it made sense.
It did make sense.
It made a lot more sense. At first, I was like, huh? You know, I started looking about it like we needed kind of D-tackle help. But then, you know, we took Kyle Fuller, and I saw the athletic ability he had and what he could bring to the team. I liked it. I liked it a whole lot because we face teams like Detroit twice a year, Green Bay twice a year, guys that's going to throw the ball 50 times a game. So you need that depth at cornerback. You need that good third or fourth cornerback to be able to last because teams are going full wide now and it's throwing the ball. So it made a lot of sense. So I didn't mind at all moving inside at the nickel because, you know, when you got Calvin Johnson twice a week and you have, you know, guys that's loading up at the wide receiver, we need a lot of help at cornerback. So, and that's what we did, and that's what Phil Emery saw in Kyle, and it was a great draft pick.
I asked you, Adam, because that was the question yesterday when you came in studio. They were in a lot more nickel than I thought they were going to be in, which meant that Bostic was out on the field a lot more. He had a lot more snaps, too. So,
well, and the Bills aren't even a team that's going to be throwing the ball, running those three wide sets as much as some of the other teams in the league. Am I right when I say that?
Well, I mean
almost every team's doing that.
Yeah, every team is looking. I started watching some of San Fran getting ready for this upcoming week. And they're going to be out there in three wide receiver set, four wide receiver set, trying to spread them out wide. So, guys are doing that, man. It just come down to it, especially now how the game is being called. You can't touch wide receiver no more. So, they're going to use that to their, you know, their advantage and have, you know, throw the ball because it's about to be like 7-on-7 out there.
Let's get on that.
It really is. Real talk.
Because watching, we all saw the preseason games, and I don't know how anyone can't feel a little bit for defensive backs in the league at this point.
Right.
Because the way they were calling penalties was, it was disruptive to the game, to be quite frank.
It was.
It was disrupting the flow. It wasn't fun to watch.
Right.
No one wants to see all that.
I'm glad
now,
to hear that.
Now, there's going to obviously be some adjustment to the regular season. I don't know how you felt the game went on Sunday, but actually maybe Buffalo got called for a little bit more than you guys did. But it's still got to be tougher and tougher and hard to adjust when the league makes these rule changes every year.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's kind of taken away from the game of football itself. But I think, you know, they're trying to do it for whatever reason. They feel like they have to do it. We have to abide by it. We have to adjust to it and make sure we do it the right way. And I'm glad the way they do it is they emphasize it in the preseason. And, you know, they call it more in the preseason just to get ready for the regular, you know, just to make sure they do that. But you can't call that game like that because it prolongs the game. It makes it longer than what it should be.
Your first game against the Eagles went like 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Exactly.
And it didn't even go to overtime.
But it's hard to watch a game, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, back in the day growing up, I would watch and get, like, DBs would mug receivers off the line. Like, you had to work for your yards. Like, so now it even goes back to a dude like Jerry Rice and, like, the yards that he did, that the accomplishment. You got to look back, and now you can't touch. You know what they should do? Bring that rule in the CFL where the dudes do the waggle motion and they just get to run.
You know,
because it's unfair for the DBs.
It is. I mean, that's why I think being a cornerback, a defensive back, we are the best athletes out there on the field, man. It's by far we got to be the best athletes out of the field because we have to be able to read and react. And they know where they're going, you know what I mean? And you have to be able to read and react and make plays on the ball. And nowadays they're making it more tough for us DBs to kind of be physical with the wide receiver. Even now in crucial downs, when you're down in like 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, you have to be physical. It's kind of hard to do that. But it is what it is, and hopefully, you know, guys can be able to adjust to it, and we could just play football. And hopefully get back to us playing football someday.
Has it been even more hard this year? Because it looks to me like you guys might be playing a little bit more man defense, too, this year.
Right. I mean, it is what it is. It's, you got to be able to like I said, you have to be able to adjust to it and make sure that you just have to do what they ask you to do within the rules. You can, they like I say, they're giving us leeway. You know, they're not just not after 5 yards. You can't mold them after 5 yards. You can still be a little aggressive or whatever like that, but you have to be smarter where you at and how you do it. But that's why we rely heavily on that pass rush, man. They can help us out a whole lot.
We'll talk a little bit about the pass rush and more about Sunday's game against the Bills. Got to take a quick timeout. We're here with Tim Jennings till 8 o'clock here at Pony Inn on Belmont. Everybody out here is drinking Miller Lite. And we're having a party out here at the Pony. I'm Adam Hoge alongside Tim Jennings and Jarrett Payton. You're listening to the Jarrett and Jennings Show on 87.7 The Game.
We failed, in my opinion. We did a lot of good things over there. It wasn't a complete failure. We did a lot of good things. We just got to, you know, fix the little things. Death by inches. It's the little things that'll kill you.
Back to Jennings and Jarrett, live at the Pony Inn on FM 87.7 The Game.
That was Tim Jennings' partner in crime, Charles Tillman. Those two guys have been staples at cornerback for the last... How long have you been with the Bears now? Four, five years?
This is my fifth season.
Man.
Yeah, it's my fifth season here.
We're here with Tim Jennings at the Pony Inn. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Miller Lite, the original light beer. That's now back in its original can. It's Miller time. And we need to thank O'Hare Midway Limousine for providing our show with transportation to today's broadcast. Call 847-948-8050 or visit oharemidway.com for all your transportation needs. I'm Adam Hoge alongside Tim Jennings and Jarrett Payton. Tim, I don't know if we make too much of this, but there was a game back in 2011, I think it was week 15 against the Seahawks, where you kind of struggled. Tell me if we make too much of this. But I think Lovie Smith, did he bench you the next game? Is that how it went down?
Was that the game?
And then from that point on, your career with the Bears has just taken off.
You could say that. I think that's how we think is how it went down. I know it was a game before we played the Green Bay Packers. I got benched, you know, that game, and they decided that they wanted to kind of get another look at Zach. And I think that was a Green Bay
Zach
game.
Bowman?
Yeah, Zach yeah. Bowman. And it was a Green Bay game. So it was a tough one. It would have been a tough one for any corner playing against Green Bay. But the following week after that Green Bay game was Minnesota, and kind of took off from there. I think I got to pick that game. And yeah, as you can see, yeah, it took off. Coach Lovie lighted a little fire to my boy that year, and he kind of challenged me. And I think ever since then, I just, you know, took it as a challenge, and I always, you know, look at Coach Lovie giving me another opportunity, and it kind of took off from there.
Well, it's a little bit different now though without Lovie. I mean, this is with Mark Trestman and being with him up in Montreal. I know how offensive minded he is, and he brought in Mel Tucker, but it is a little bit. Has it been different with the transition of being under Lovie and then now having a defensive coordinator in Mel Tucker?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's been a big transition. It's been a big difference. I mean, now you have an offensive-minded coach, so everything seems like it's resolving around the offense. Before, when I was here, it was resolving around the defense, and all the defensive guys were leaders. So now it seems like all the offensive guys has been leaders now, and it's been a real big difference of how we used to do things and the way we do things now. So everybody, you know, now being in the second year of Coach Trestman, it's been a smoother transition. Guys are buying into what he's trying to do and how he's trying to do things, and knowing why that he does the things that he does. So it took us a while, but now, you know, having a whole training camp and a whole season with guys buying into it and not knowing what to expect, it's been a lot easier.
Phone number is 312-235-2525 if you have a question or a text for Tim Jennings. Tim, here's a text from the 847. He's asking you, would you rather have a sack, force a fumble, or get an interception?
Anytime I get an interception, I'm thinking touchdown. So with me, it's like, with me, it's more of an interception, man. I leave the forced fumbles to Peanut and the sack to Jared Allen and them. Now they can have all that.
And I don't know how many people know this, but in the last two seasons, you have 13 interceptions, which is second only to Richard Sherman in the entire NFL. He has 16, you have 13, so you're right up there with him.
Hey, I like that. I'll tell you that, you know, being up there with some good company, so I'm must be doing something right, and I like to keep that going.
How much of a you know, all those guys, like Richard Sherman, right, and all the best corners in the league, how much do you guys kind of, you know each other, but still talk trash and kind of motivate each other, because it's got to be. Now the world's so small, everybody knows everybody, and right. plus, you know, everybody knows what everybody makes, so everybody's trying to push and see who can be the best. How much does a guy like Richard Sherman and all the other guys, Peterson, all those guys kind of push you to kind of be the best?
Well, as you can see, like you say, we know what's going on. We know how much trash they talk. Like you say, the conversation with they're being in, being the best, who's the best, why are they the best. So now we look at it, try to compare numbers of, you know, not giving up so many touchdowns, making sure you don't allow a receiver to catch so many yards, anything like that. So you put yourself up there with those greats. So now you have to compete with those greats to see what they're doing to make sure that you stay among those greats. So, you know, you try to pick each and everybody brain. I had a chance to meet some of them guys down in the Pro Bowl, and they're all good guys, man. We all love the game of football, but it's just the competitive nature in us to make us be better than the guy in front of us.
That's Tim Jennings. Let's dive into this game a little bit from Sunday, a 23-20 loss in overtime to the Buffalo Bills. You know, I think that the initial reaction from the game, seeing a couple runs of 47, 38 yards, was to say, oh, no, this is the same defense as last year. They're still giving up big runs. When I went back and I watched the game yesterday pretty closely, I'm curious if this is how you guys saw it too, because, yeah, there were a couple long runs, and I know you guys want to eliminate that, and there was a couple gap control issues on those plays. Otherwise, I saw a team whose run fits improved remarkably from last year. Was that sort of the message? Was there still some optimism amongst the defensive group yesterday as you guys rewatched the tape, despite the fact that there still were some longer runs that you guys gave up?
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be a concern when you give up, you know, those runs like that. And as you could tell, it was in crucial times of the game. But like you also said, we've done a lot of great things. And going back and watching the film, we see that we did a lot of great things. It was just maybe a misfit here and a misfit there that broke out to those long runs. But we feel like we've done it. We did a lot of great things. We came a long way from last year and where we were last year, and we could clean that up. But, I mean, this is the NFL. Those guys get paid, too. And they made a few plays, and I think they made one or two plays more than what we did, which gave them the win over us on Sunday. But it's some things that we could clean up. But when going back to the film, we saw a lot of positives. We saw a lot of positives there. We saw one or two mistakes that we could fix. So we go back to the drawing board and hopefully have a better week of practice and clean those things up, because we got an even tougher one this weekend.
You know, one of the big positives that I saw was Willie Young.
Right.
And you talk about you know, what, look at that defensive line and what Phil Emery and Trestman did to kind of beef it up a little bit. Talk about just the defensive line and a pass rush and how that kind of makes your job a little bit easier.
Man, I refer back to the year that I had in, what is it, 2012, 13, when I led the league in picks.
Yeah.
Our defensive front was amazing. I mean, you had guys like Henry Melton that led us D tackles and sacks. Julius Peppa had, he contributed well. I mean, anytime our D-line could get after it, it makes our job a lot easier, because quarterbacks don't have time to sit back there and go through all their progressions. And that just gives us a lot of it gets us comfortable to believe what we see and go. So with the acquisitions we made this year, with Jared Allen rushing off the year, Willie Young making plays, Lamar Houston with the motor that he brings to it, we keep guys healthy. We can only get better. I mean, it's just going to be a matter of time before the light switch, you know, switches on and get, you know, they got the green light and they're going. So, I'm looking forward to that, because, like I said, it makes our job in the back end a lot more easier. And having run control, I mean, it's going to make our job a lot easier on our safeties, being able to come down and make tackles in smaller spaces.
I love Willie Young yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw this, but he was the one who got tapped on the shoulder and said, hey, you got to go talk to the media the day after the game. He's one of the unlucky ones.
I saw it.
He's getting asked all these questions. Everyone's panicking yesterday. All these questions about, can you handle the criticism? Are you equipped for? He's like, man, I played in Detroit. He's like, are you kidding me? I mean, hey, no one should be equipped for the criticism like Willie Young. But he really had a good game. I thought that was a great debut for him with the Bears. And I'm wondering, how hard they didn't get after the quarterback too much in that first game, as you were sort of just talking about, and how much of that was because of you also got to worry about containing a guy like EJ Manuel, and that's going to be an issue too coming up. You guys face a number of mobile quarterbacks to start the year. Colin Kaepernick, another team you got to worry about with the zone read. How hard does that make it then to get up the field and always trying to get after the quarterback?
It makes it extremely tough. I mean, that's when the whole discipline has to come in. Guys being there where they're supposed to be, making sure guys' eyes don't be in the wrong place, because that's where you can get out of, you know, misfit a run or misfit a key, and it could break for like a big play. So that's what the game has revolved to. You know, quarterbacks are using that read option to kind of open up, you know, offensive playbooks and things like in that nature, but we have to be disciplined in those areas. And I think it freezes our D-line a lot. But we got guys to rush off the edge to make sure we contain the quarterback, and then we get that push up front. It'll come together and make, you know, making sure we can eliminate some of the things that offenses like to do. But we'll figure it out, and I think we have the right personnel to kind of do it. It's just once we get it, we got it, though. So
see, Tim was talking about, he's talking about how he was watching some film. And so if you go back and you look at I know it's not the Bills from last year, but you look at what Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller did. They were number two in the league last year.
Right.
And then I looked at the game the other night of watching San Francisco, and this is a new beast now. Frank Gore and Carlos Hyde. I mean, these two guys look like a good 1-2 combo. Do you think that you guys are going to keep seeing a lot more of the read option if people were looking at the film from what Buffalo did?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's just it's with any team. I think that's just what the league is coming down to. I think a lot of teams are going to that now because you have mobile quarterbacks that can play that caliber of football, and I think it has a lot of stress on the defense. So we're sure to kind of we're going to see a lot more of it. This is a copycat league. What you see one week, you're going to see the next week. I guarantee you that. And with San Fran, I mean, that's just part of their offense. And they got a great core of guys that can get that done. So we got to be able to take what they like to do, one thing they like to do away, and how to kind of minimize their game plan and put us in better position. So definitely we want to stop the run first, you know, minimize Frank Gore and be able to take that away from what they want to do and contain Kaepernick. Now make Kaepernick make decisions and throwing the ball, and we like our chances in that area.
I want to go through two plays from the game, one good, one bad, that you were involved in from Sunday. First, there was a Fred Jackson screen that they set up. I think they did a pretty good job of setting it up. It looked like if he gets past you, he had a long ways to run and some space. You make the open field tackle, though. Can you kind of take us through that play and what you saw and kind of how hard of a play that is to make?
They had a good play designed up. they had faked the reverse with Sammy Watkins, which, you know, we all was keying on that he was going to be the guy, which we was able to contain him pretty well. And then it kind of had the guy's eyes going a lot of places. So once I saw the screen, I knew they might have had a big play going on. So I was kind of able to use my athletic ability. I had an offensive lineman coming out and block me, so I'm going to win nine times out of ten.
You got right around it.
You can get around that easy,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
you got
skills. I felt the screen develop fairly quickly, so that offensive lineman really didn't have a chance. So once I got around him, the biggest part was getting him down in the open field, and I think that's the hardest part for a defensive back is making an attack on the open field. So you definitely want to get there before he gets started, and I was kind of able to do that and minimize a big play.
I'm waiting for the next play. I'm waiting, Adam. I'm waiting.
Tim had a good game.
I know he did. I'm just asking.
That's why I'm trying to figure out what's the bad play.
What's mine?
All right, it's the 30-something yard completion down the sideline of Robert Woods.
Now I just felt like he over – like. I didn't know if you overrun it.
I did. They had a rub play. They kind of wanted to pick me, and I have to go over the top. I have to fit over the top to kind of get, you know.
Are you supposed to go under Kyle or over in there? Okay, so that's sort of where the hesitation
was. Me and Kyle kind of, you know, haven't been playing together just long enough just yet. I need
totally
to
understand.
Yeah, I got to fit over the top, Kyle, and Kyle was kind of over the top also, so I had to fit in between them. So I had to fight more to try to get on top, and EJ Manuel threw a back shoulder. He threw it to my back. Usually I saw it twice on film, that they run it. So I already knew it was coming. I just needed to fit over the top of Kyle and be in better position. And every time that I saw it on film, it was a deep ball. So I'm thinking, all right, get on, you know, it was a deep ball. But since I was already on top, he saw my back and threw a back shoulder fade. And every corner knows that those plays are the most difficult ones because you don't know exactly where the ball is at. And the receiver and quarterback got on the same page. I kind of overran it too much. He adjusted to the football before I could kind of locate it. And they made a play, and that was a good play on their part, though.
I watched it over probably about 7 times. I just kept watching it over and over.
My reaction was, wow, EJ.
But hold up. Those are the things, though, that we don't understand about what are plays called, especially for an offensive guy like me. Like, I see certain things, but I don't know the play call. I don't know actually what everybody's supposed to do. I'm only can react to what I see. And so I'm watching you, and I couldn't see that. I didn't know you had to fight over it underneath. And so it's good to be able to hear that, to understand the play.
We saw it, and I want to fit over top of Kyle so Kyle could be closer to his guy.
Yeah.
And I could cut my guy off and make sure I get back to where I need to be.
Man.
It was just one of those plays. It just split second. And, you know, I looked at EJ. EJ looked at me. He kind of gave me that look. Yeah, I saw your back, so I'm going to throw it at your back. You know, usually I was like, all right, you got me. You know, that was a good throw, good catch. You know, don't do it again.
Yeah, but you see, we start to see that a lot more now, not just in that game. Both of you guys, you're seeing more of these pick plays in every single game. And some people can actually run it. Some are getting flags thrown because guys don't know how to actually run it. And
you got
to
sell it good.
You got to really, really sell it.
Mulligan got called for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You have guys that run it right and make sure you sell it, kind of rub the defender a little bit. And then you got guys that just don't know exactly what doing and just try to sit there and pick the defender. I mean, anytime if you do it the right way and you know, slow them down a little bit, you might have an opportunity for a big play. And they was able to do that. But, I mean, it is what it is. They had a good execution. And EJ made a good throw.
You talk about playing next to Kyle Fuller. I don't know how much of his tape you saw of him at Virginia Tech, but there's some impressive stuff on there. Very physical kid.
Oh, yeah.
That they played him sometimes sort of as an inverted safety towards the line of scrimmage. Phil Emery talking about Kyle shooting the A-gap sometimes, and there's one play where he just jumps over an offensive lineman against Georgia Tech and gets the quarterback right at the mesh point on one of those triple option plays that Georgia Tech runs. But he's kind of a quiet kid to us. Is he like that with you guys? And I mean, what's he like to be around every day?
Nah, I mean, he's like that. What you see is what you get with Kyle. He's a quiet guy. The thing about it, what impresses me the most is that he's very mature for his age. You know, he comes to work early, tries to take care of his body already. I didn't do that when I first got here. You know, it was just off of athletic ability. You didn't really know it, but coming in a great situation, seeing me and Peanut work and how we do things is good for him. And he's like a sponge. He takes all that in, and he's going to be good in this league. And his athletic, you know, have that athleticism, and he's tough. You know, he's tough. He'll hit you. He'll shoot his guns and make a tackle when he has to. And that's what you have to like about him. He's long and he's physical and he can run.
So, question, man. You know, I've been wondering this. I'm a part of the media now, so I got to hear all the stuff that people are talking about.
You don't change.
No, I didn't change. Tim, I didn't change, but I didn't get to talk to anybody, and I've heard so many people discuss this issue, and I just want to know what you thought because you're in the locker room, man.
What's up?
When Lance went to Cali for the restaurant, wasn't an issue in the locker room because a lot of people were making it an issue, but we never heard from anybody inside really what was – how they felt. How did you feel? Was it an issue for you? Because I know I've been in the locker room, but I'm not in your locker room.
Honestly, it was no issue for me. I was worried at first because when we had the meetings, nobody knew where he was. You know what I mean? We didn't know. I think he took it up with the coaches, which is understandable. That's between him and coach. So we were just calling to make sure everything was straight. But once I found out he had an obligation back at home he had to take care of, I just left it at that. I think a lot of guys on defense offense left it. I don't know how exactly some of the offensive guys may have felt. But once Peanut told me what he had to do, I was like, okay, cool. So obviously he took that over coach. No issue that he wasn't there. It's just the fact that Lance Briggs has been playing great football for us for since I can remember, since I was a child. So anytime that he just misses a day, and you got to think about that Monday was a bonus day. Like, we really wasn't even supposed to practice, but we just had an extra day to put film on Buffalo, and that was and we know that Lance is going, he's well prepared. Just give him the game plan, and he can take it from there. I could care less if Lance practiced during the week. As long as he's healthy on Sundays, he's going to make plays. So that's just the way it is. Once we figure out where he was and he was okay, he was going to be back there come that week and be ready for the game. And that's the way I took it. That's the way a lot of the defensive guys, I haven't heard anything in the locker room, somebody having a problem with it or anything like that. Only issue that I heard was, like, from the outside source.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and so everybody on the outside was talking about it, but we never really heard what from the inside. And so, I mean, that's how I put it. And I was speaking on behalf of you guys, like, from what I've experienced that I've seen before, that, listen, guys know what Lance can do.
Right,
just want him to be ready to play when it's time to play. And, like, if that's what you do, that's what you do. And some guys have a little bit different than everybody else.
And like, I think only thing that could have been different was, you know, just letting the guys know. You know what I mean? Not being a surprise. Us looking for you and making sure what happened with Lance or anything like that. You know, just being aware that, okay, well, yeah, Lance is not going to be here today. He has obligations. And then guys are like, okay, cool. And that's what it is. So once we found out, it was still okay, cool. But like you said, man, Lance has been doing this for a while, man. He deserved days off and whatnot like that. I don't.
How about the situation? Because I think it's pretty cool. Brandon has an opportunity to now be the first, like, active player actually doing commentating and being on a show, going back and forth to New York. Do you see that in any way, like, for the long haul? Are you happy for him? Is it something that you would do? Or if you had the opportunity, would it be too much for you?
Honestly, for me personally, if you know me, it's just too much for me. When I'm playing football, I like to just play football. I don't like going nowhere and doing a lot of stuff outside of there. But as where Brandon's at, with his career and his legacy he's building, I understand that he uses football as his stepping stone, as
his platform.
To what he wanted to become outside of football. And I can understand that. You know, when he told me, I was like, I understand that. Everybody's different. What do you want to do when you're done playing football? That's the next step. So you have to use this as your platform.
True.
To what you're trying to do. With me, I'm like, man, this is just football, so I got to play football right now, and I figure out what's that after the fact.
And it's kind of weird in a way, though, and Adam, we talked about this, is that he talked about his contract extension on The View, man. Like, his brand, it's a different brand now, man.
Yeah, exactly. That was one of the coolest contract announcements I've ever seen.
I know.
Exactly. So why would y'all expect anything different from that?
I know. He's just like, I'm on The View. I'm like, this cat's tripping, man. Exactly. That's my guy.
Yeah, and that's it. And I just, like you said, man, he's just using this platform, and he's just building a whole empire to what he's going to do when he's done playing football. So why not, man?
Hey, Tim, I want to get back to Lance real quick. We're Tim Jennings here with us, Jared Payton, Adam Hogue, until 8 o'clock here at the Pony Inn on Belmont in Chicago. Lance was out of his gap on that 47-yard run. He admitted as much after the game, to his credit, took responsibility for it. I'm curious, with you guys in the locker room, and when that comes up the next day, veteran like that, how does he approach that with you guys when there's a – because you're not used to seeing Lance Briggs right. jump out of his gap that hard like he did. On a play.
Yeah, he was gone. He was gone. but the thing about he was out of there.
He was out of there.
He was out of there. But the thing about it is Lance addressed that the next play, though, on the field. He addressed that to me. He addressed that to when we got in the huddle. He's like, yeah, that was me, guys. That was me. That was my fault. You know, that's my one or whatever like that. So he addressed it right then and there. So we kind of knew what the problem was, because anytime a big play like that happens, We asked, like, what happened? He's like, yeah, that's me. Even Brian Urlacher, he used to do the same thing. So
that's got to help when you're on the field. And
yeah,
because you don't want to be wondering what went wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it does help. So now we can move on to the next play.
Right.
And he was able to do that. And he admitted it right then and there. I mean, he's a man of his words. But Lance is a player that's so aggressive. Like, it's a different position for him. You know what I mean? Like, before when he was playing the wheel, he'd just go. But now, so you know, he's playing a little bit of the mic and has to do a lot more different things. He has to have a different mindset. And now things have to slow down for him a little bit, and he realized that. And that just comes with the nature of the game, and when they ask more from you.
So when you guys are nickel now, he has is that when he's sort of playing more of the mic, a little bit different responsibilities, or is he even in base?
It's really in base. It's really in base. You know, nickel, we still got Bosley to come in and play the mic. Okay. But we asked Lance to do so much now, man. So before when Urlacher was here, Urlacher do it all and just put Lance in the gap and just tell him to go play football. But now, you know, things have to slow down for him because we asked Lance to do so much, and I think he's taking it on. He's taking it on a lot. He's taking it on well, actually. I mean, it's just now that you do that, things are going to slow down. Just same for me at nickel, because things have to slow down. I have to process things a little bit slow enough to make sure I'm where I need to be. And that's just how that just comes with the nature of the game when they ask you to do different things that you've been doing for a long time.
What about on the back end of that defense? A lot of talk. A lot of people talked about Conte. And from last year, and a lot of fans in Chicago just aren't going to let it go. But, you know, defensively, you guys seem like a tight unit. Are people being too hard on him? And how well do you think he played in his this first game this season?
Well, I'm sure if you talk to Chris, he'll tell you he got to play a lot more better. I mean, a lot better. But the way I think about it, Chris is more hard on himself.
Seems like it.
than you guys are. I mean, the fans don't make it easier, but it weighs a lot on them. And I'm just a guy that kind of I want to be able to make sure everybody's comfortable, everybody's free out there just so they could go play football. But he takes it on himself so much, and he puts the weight on himself so much that it carries on to him even when the play is over. Or even when he made that interception, I'm like, you know, great play, Chris. You know, they celebrate with it. And it just felt like a weight came off his shoulder. Like, bro, we expect you to make that.
No, hold up. And somebody called into the show, and they were like, I'm upset because he didn't celebrate with his team. And I had to check the dude. I was like, listen, man, there's certain plays in a game where I can't even tell you. I blacked out because I was so hyped. Like, you get so hyped up that you just lose it.
Right.
I'm like, no, he went to the sideline and sat down next to his guys, and they talked about it. But, I mean, I'm not getting on him just because he was hype, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold up. And it was a great play, too. If you watch it.
You see how far he went?
He covered some ground, bro. I was watching him. I was like, I got hyped up, man. Almost did a backflip in my kitchen, bro.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. That's the type of athlete. That's the type of player Chris can be if once he just realized that – he knows he has it. He just had to just let it go and just take the weight off his shoulder, bro. Just let it go, man. But in the situation that he's in, it's kind of tough. He's still young. He's still just trying to, you know, become the player that he can be. So once he make a few more plays like that, I think it all wear down and realize that we his team, we got his back. Regardless of what goes on outside the locker room, outside of football, that's just that you can't control that, and you just have to be able to go out there and play football. And we got your back, and we here for you. So, like, just let it go, and we'll be all right.
Last question for you is: we're talking about the safeties. I believe after the coach's review of the film, they gave Ryan Mundy 10 tackles, which led the team. Good start for Ryan.
Right. Oh yeah, excellent start for Ryan, man. That was big. You know, bringing him in. Not knowing what you're gonna get, and him making the plays that he was supposed to make, being where he's supposed to be, and leading us in tackle. I mean, that's what we asked for him. That's why we brought him in, and hopefully we keep everybody healthy. We expect great things out of Ryan, man. I'm real comfortable with him being back there and being where he's supposed to be and making sure guys around him are where they're supposed to be.
All right, man. Tim Jennings here at the Pony Inn. Thanks for joining us. We need to thank O'Hare Midway Limousine for providing our show with transportation for today's broadcast. Call 847-948-8050 or visit OHareMidway.com for all your transportation needs. And thanks to Miller Lite for having us out tonight.
Shouts out to Miller Lights in the house, baby.
Miller Lite. I'm about to go have a Miller Lite.
I'm about to go have one, too.
I'm about to go have another water.
Tim, thanks for joining us. We got another show next week, right? 3 weeks. All right, well.
We'll make it happen.
We'll make it happen. You're going to be joining us all season long. Looking forward to it. Thanks for joining us today. It's Tim Jennings, Jared Payton, yep. Adam Hogue. You've been listening to 87.7 The Game.